Tell me your story.
Tell me your story.
How did it all start? Do you remember?
All right, now what happened?
How did it start?
You're now tuned into the Small Business Origins Podcast.
I love an origin story.
Each week, we dive into the real stories of entrepreneurs and businesses from across the nation.
Who is he and what's his origin story?
Who started with just an idea and are now making waves.
I told you this was a good idea.
This is Small Business Origins.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Small Business Origins. You're tuned in to our nationwide search for entrepreneurs that have a story to tell. And joining us virtually in the studio is an entrepreneur that wants to do just that. All the way from Times Square, New York, we have Rick Delarada with Jazz for Peace. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John. As we were talking, because we're Jazz for Peace, I'm going to start out with a little jazz. And this is kind of something, I do something different on all the podcasts, something unique, so that hopefully people can find out about your podcasts, you know, from other podcasts and vice versa. And people can hear all these, because they're the podcasts themselves that I'm on are different and unique. So this is a song that I've never played on a podcast, but a lot of people have been talking to me about Chet Baker, this great jazz musician that I was compared to when I started putting out my own records. People thought I sounded like him as a vocalist. And then I'm going to go into a little thing called a Free JA, which I make up on the spot. So it's completely improvised. It'll be totally different for you. And this is something that we're just trying to make a little stance with regards to what we feel is the importance of being able to journalists being able to do their job. And people reporting on things that might not be the most flattering or the most greatest news we want to hear, but we got to give these people a chance to report on it so that we don't have a situation, certainly innocent civilians being bombed, things like that. We want to stand up against that worldwide. And so it's called Free JA. The first song is called Almost Blue. Almost blue, almost doing things we used to do, there's a girl here and she's almost you. All the things that your eyes once promised, I see in hers too. Now your eyes are red from crying.
Oh,
That's a first for this podcast. We've never had any music, and bravo, man. That was amazing. I love it.
Thank you so much, Sean. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing with us. I am excited now to jump into what Jazz for Peace is. But before we do, we always start out with an icebreaker question. And today's icebreaker question is, everyone has had a recurring bad dream. Like, what is that one nightmare that just always comes back and messes with you?
Well, for an actual dream, I've had now at least twice, but it could be like three or four times, a very strange thing where I'm like, a tooth is kind of loose. It's kind of a front tooth, and it kind of falls out. And I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with a front tooth that just fell out? I better call a dentist. What do I have to put it back? And I'm dealing with all of the just the issues of like, you know, like, I've never had this front tooth. I've never had this. Is so weird. This is so bizarre. Like, it was a little loose and it came out like a weird situation. I'm just dealing with all the parameters involved. Well, I guess it can be put back in. And then I'm thinking, well, worst case scenario, they'll put in a replacement tooth. Those replacement tooths are. And then I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I think I'm dreaming. I think this. Yeah. And I just wake myself up and then I'm like, I got both, you know, and it's like, and it, you know, it's weird because each time it happened so vividly and I woke myself out of it, and that's how I remembered the dream. So yeah, no one's ever asked me that question, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
I know what it means. I keep trying to think, is there a subliminal meaning? Is there a message? Who the heck knows?
Maybe yeah. I 100% like, I just go through and kind of read a bunch of different icebreaker questions and just kind of randomly choose one. And this one stuck out for me today because, it made me think of like the dreams that I've always had reoccurring as a child that have already, you know, gone into my adult life, which is, I don't know if you have this, but like something chasing you. And for me, it was kind of tornadoes, which, you know, is something that we have down here, obviously. And it's like this big tornado would just be coming in at me and I'm trying to run as fast as I can, but my legs don't work. They just give out. I can't run. I can't move fast. And I'm just like slowly trying to get away from this tornado that's just catching up to me. And then usually what happens is it'll startle me enough in my dream that I wake up out of it. And then just like you, I have that realization like, oh, yeah, all that was fake. So that's cool. At least it's over.
And the same one will happen again at some other time.
Oh, my gosh. All the time. For some reason, it's always tornadoes. And I don't know why, because we haven't had a whole lot where I live. You know, like directly in my area, obviously they surround us all the time. You know, we get tornadoes. It's a pretty regular thing here, but, yeah, it just, for some reason, man, it chases me down. It's so crazy.
It's fascinating to know because I didn't know if other people also had recurring dreams or not, but I mean, since it was one of a question on your list there, I guess it's something a lot of people have. Like I'm not alone.
Yeah. I guess not, you know, and all I can think is it's got to be tied to like some type of stress that's just eating me up or following me. And that's why it comes back around. But I don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well,
one of the many unknowns out there, right?
I hear you.
We don't know.
Exactly. That's a great conversation in itself. But we're here to talk about you and where you came from and how you got started going into Jazz for Peace. So just tell us your origin story, man. Where'd you come from?
I'm originally from upstate New York. It's a relatively small town called Schenectady. It's near Albany, which is the capital city of New York State. Not that far, maybe, I guess, 20 minutes, 25 minutes outside of Albany. So I was born there, and I was born into a musical family. My father had studied the French horn as a kid, and then, ended up going into law instead. And my mother, she played the piano, and she played the organ in the church. So a piano entered the house, which I thought Santa Claus brought in because it came on Christmas Eve. And that's how I got started playing, because I was like, you know, he must have brought this thing here for a reason. And I'm like, I know what it was. And I just started messing around with it on my own secretly, actually doing almost what I did here, was making stuff up by myself, just on the piano, standing like this, just trying to figure it out and hearing, listening to the sounds and hearing, well, wow, it can do this, it can do that. Look at all the things this thing can do, you know. And then I kind of got caught. So, or someone probably told on me or whatever, because I was trying to keep it a secret. Then I ended up in piano lessons, and one thing led to another. I unfortunately had to quit my paper route. The only job I've ever had, I was a paper boy, and I was doing pretty good at that. I actually won a ski trip to Montreal because I got whatever it was, five new customers at a certain amount of time and got picked out of a hat, you know. But like three of them were from this guy named Joe the Barber, who was just being a nice guy, ordering the paper. You know, I think he canceled it after. So anyway, I'm messing around doing what the kids do. You have your paper out, you have this, you have that. But then things started to happen with music where my homeroom teacher, his sons were putting a band together. So he wanted me to play in that band. I was going to play the school churches. So I'm like, wow, that's exciting. And, you know, you have your band rehearsal, like a garage band, you know. And so we're doing that. And then there was a grown-up band that wanted me to play with them because they had the jobs, you know, maybe wedding receptions or this or that party, a lot of private parties, you know, parties and stuff like that, gigs and clubs, and they'd kind of sneak me in and don't worry, kids, they're not going to, you know, because if they card you, we're going to lose our piano player. So I don't think they're going to say anything. Just come in with us, go out with us, you know, and they drive me home too. And then my mother, you know, dumped the church organ deal on me. She wanted me to be the church organist. So that was it for the paper route. Like I had no, there was no way I could be a paper boy anymore. And so that was it for me as far as whatever the straight life, you know. So I just kept, it really just kept going and going and going until we got to what I was telling you off camera, the day of 9/11, where it kind of took its own little fork, you know, it kind of started taking its own journey.
Yeah. So you quit one job to kind of go to this one. And how old were you when you started doing that?
I think it was about 13 or 14 when I had the paper route. And I just remembered I was doing the paper route and I was kind of ambitious about it. And then the next thing I know, the music things just started, you know, like this one and that one and that one. So I'm sure by the time I was 15, I was out of paper boy and into music.
Yeah. That's pretty killer. So when did you move from upstate to Manhattan?
Well, I actually went to Boston. You were telling me you guys were in Boston, right? You visited there?
Yeah, we visited there.
Cool.
Yep.
So I know Boston very well. I went there. I went to New England Conservatory of Music. So it's a music school in Boston. It's a pretty high, reputable type of a music conservatory. I had a choice of either going to Boston or Miami, which was really kind of wanted me. They were going to the scholarship and this, that, and the other. And Boston had accepted me as a classical pianist because I just checked piano performance and I went there. I was going to play, you know, all different styles of music from there. Like, no, piano performances, you know, Mozart, let's hear your Beethoven. And somehow I got in. So anyway, I went there and there was a good jazz person I wanted to study with in that department. So I figured that's okay. The classical guys will teach me some interesting technical stuff. And this other guy, Jackie Byard, as long as I can kind of sneak in with him, however I can, was going to, you know, take care of my, you know, the other jazz studies and stuff, which he did. So it just kept going. I mean, you remain a student forever, but, you know, you at the same time, it's a pretty wide open kind of thing because, like I said, it ends up, I mean, you end up doing a lot of traveling. I did a lot of traveling as my own, well, as a sideman with bands. So I would play, basically, you know, you're making a living. I basically wanted to play any kind of music so that I had all the skills to make a living. That was my important thing. I wanted to, you know, make a living as to play any kind of music and, you know, just have piano, will travel, whatever. And so I did. I played any kind of band, all kinds of bands, you name it. I mean, your favorite music, I probably played in a band that played that style of music. So I played all that stuff. But then I started doing stuff also where I traveled a lot, touring stuff. One group was called the Artie Shaw Orchestra. They were a big band, and they were real famous in the back in the big band days, you know, when what Benny Goodman and those kinds of people. Artie Shaw and Benny Goodman were the two big names, you know, in music at one time. So we travel in a bus all over the place, and just all over the city. So that's how I've been to all over the country by then. And then I kept, you know, other groups, the Platters. They were a 1950s group called the Platters. Only you can make the world seem bright. I don't know if you ever heard that song. There's some hits that they had that you would probably recognize if you heard them. I was an opening act MC for Dizzy Gillespie, who's, you know, a very, very big name in the jazz world, one of the innovators of jazz. And just every nickel and dime band leading up to my own records. And then with my own records, I started traveling again to places, Asia, Brazil, all kinds of places like that. Then when Jazz for Peace started on 9/11, that's when the traveling took a very unique turn, because somebody could have a jazz event in a place that never had jazz with Jazz for Peace. Mm. You know what I mean? So through Jazz for Peace, they could have a Jazz for Peace event, even though they never even had jazz. They never even saw a white person.
Right.
Some of the places I played there's never been. They don't remember. I remember one time there was a big argument. I was in Ghana and they were arguing. I said, "Hey, what the heck is that argument about?" They said, "Well, you know, we're sending you on this bus, and the bus is going to meet somebody else, and that guy's going to take you from here to there." And 30 years ago, a white man was on that bus, and there was a problem. So that was the last time a white man was on the bus. Somehow there was a white man on that bus, and there was a problem. And they were arguing about, you know, my safe transport. So just to give you an idea.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty precarious situation to be in, you know, something that I think would make anybody uncomfortable. So the whole reason you were there, though, was for peace. So what is Jazz for Peace? And, you know, what are you playing music for? And what are you doing? Why were you there?
Well, like, so that situation in Ghana, that was a person who had an organization called Youth with a Global Vision. And his whole thing was that, you know, in Ghana, which is really, you know, I mean, it's very few Americans are familiar with the country of Ghana. You know what I mean? Very few. You'd ask somebody about it, nothing, you know, what do you know? Nothing. I don't know anything about it. I don't even know where it is on the map. Couldn't even find it. And because of that, this person wanted young Guyanese people, Ghana people. I don't know if that's the right word. Because there's a Guyana, and that's another place in South America. But there's Ghana is in Africa. It's on the coast of Africa. And he wanted the young people to be more, the next generation, to be more, what would you say, intertwined with the globe. He wanted to be part of the whole world, part of the world economy, the world technology, the world this, that. So youth with a global vision. He wanted them to think more globally. Then, you know, people who just grow up in Ghana, I mean, they might leave the country of Ghana if they're lucky, you know, but they may never actually get on an airplane. You know, they might go to another African country, you know what I mean? Like Cote d'Ivoire is next door. So, you know, you'll have that kind of situation, but he wanted them to have a global vision. He wanted them to be knowledgeable about, and he wanted people like in New York to be more knowledgeable about Ghana. And there was a person named Kwame Nkrumah, who had been the trailblazer for this globe, for this type of thinking with Ghana people. He was the first people. He brought Ghana out of the unknown, the complete unknown. So at least after Kwame Nkrumah, they were a little bit unknown. So if you ever watch a Jazz for Peace video, there's some of our most popular ones have me in a statue in Africa, and all these kids just crowding around, screaming and yelling, having the time of their life. That statue is that person, Kwame Nkrumah. So the idea was, like it is for all of them, you know, he wanted me to come out there. He wanted me to raise publicity and awareness for that organization. He wanted to get, you know, sponsors for them. He wanted to have more people sponsoring. He wanted them more involved in the community. He wanted new and prestigious supporters, you know, gain. He wanted to expand his donor base, and he wanted to raise funds. And these are all little branches of what we call our empowerment tree. So while I was a musician, it really, I mean, you'd have to literally have blindfolds on to not know if you're a musician, because you travel a lot. You know, it's impossible for you to not see, wow, music really connects with people. You know, like I might mean, me and this person might not know the same language, but if I play music, all of a sudden we're in, you know, it's a, you know what I mean? We're connected.
Right.
And it's a boundary destroyer. I mean, it breaks through any kind of boundary that is holding people back. Music just slices right through it. You know, language, religion, creed, race. I mean, any kind of thing that you can imagine, music cuts through. So I was finding that I was able to meet people that had shared common interests. And, you know, all people, I mean, there's good people everywhere. And there's a lot of things that need help in our world and our society. We might be facing problems coming up where we might have to all act together as a species. You know, we may have to come together as a species and solve issues. You know, I know when I was in Africa, you know, there were issues with the wildlife and with the Mara River that the government of Kenya was telling me we can't solve on our own. We need the world to work together with us. So, you know, you have those issues and you just have all kinds of things that I found that jazz and music in general had a way of communication that was a very positive message to people, and it brought people together in positive ways.
Yeah, I love that about music, how it goes beyond all language barriers, because you don't have to understand a spoken language and understand what certain words mean. Oftentimes, you know, and this may just be my personal opinion, but oftentimes it's like, it's so subjective, the message that's conveyed through music. You know, we can listen to the same exact piece and all have a different opinion about how that piece makes you feel or what that piece would mean. And this is probably something that a lot of people don't truly get. But for me, I can hear music and the tone of the music and almost envision its own story that's coming out just by listening to the notes that are being played. And it's like, you know, like listening to your piece that you played at the beginning of this, it's like every single part of that, even without words, it says something to me and it means something to me. And it may be totally different than what you wrote or what you meant. And it may be totally different than what the person sitting next to me hears or what they feel. But it's crazy how music can just shake you to your core and make you feel something. Even if we don't speak the same language, we all can kind of understand that same meaning behind that music. I don't know. It's an insane thing with music. I've grown up around it. I've always loved it. It's absolutely, I think it's something that just kind of, like you said, brings us all together. And so is that what Jazz for Peace is doing? It's just basically fundraising for different, you know, nonprofits or different places across the world. And it's just like, you're just using music to kind of bring light to whatever it is that they're doing.
Well, here's what happened. So leading up to 2000, I got the memo that everybody else has, you know, that you even have yourself. You know what I mean? That music has a power, has a healing power. It has a communication power. It breaks through boundaries and barriers, has all these magical qualities are in music. Now, I'm playing an art form called jazz. I mean, I play every style of music, but I was, you know, I was involved a lot in jazz because jazz is the great American art form. Not only that, but it draws from all these other art forms. So I mean, all these other music, you know, so in other words, because we were a melting pot, you know, with of people from all over the world coming here to settle, jazz draws from all of these places. There's rhythms from Brazil, rhythms from Africa. There's harmonies from Europe, you know what I mean? Classical music in jazz. So there's all these things. So you've got this thing that's kind of wide reaching, and people do know of it all around the world as possibly America's greatest gift to the world. And it's spoken. It's a language. A universal language is spoken everywhere. You can find someone who understands the language of jazz or speaks the language of jazz just about anywhere now. And the music itself has these communicating qualities. So I started to realize that, you know, why don't I take all of this that we already know and do something with it? You know, do something with it. And so what happened to me was the point that I really, you know, the line, you know, when I really entered the Rubicon, let's say, it was on the morning of 9/11, because, you know, I'd been thinking these things anyway. But then 9/11 comes and I find myself on the roof of my building watching it. And words came out of me, and those words became a poem, and the poem was called Jazz for Peace. And I was in a situation where I couldn't just think these thoughts conveniently every day like I'd been doing, you know. Now it was like, wait a minute, why don't I just do it? Because I know that music does this, and I know that I can use my musical talents to communicate with anyone at any place in the world, and I can reach them through music. I can musically reach them one way or another. There's something that I can find that will touch their hearts. You know what I mean? It might be this kind of thing over there, but it might be that kind of thing over here, but I'll find it and I'll reach them with my music. And now why don't I follow the words that came out of this poem and use this art form to heal and support and help the world's most outstanding causes, with the belief that if we help our greatest causes, we will not only help those causes themselves and all of their outreach, but we'll be solving problems today and thwarting problems of tomorrow at the same time when you're doing that. So a lot of our problems in our world can be solved by identifying those causes, because some of them are big, some of them are small, some of them are old, some of them are new. You know, you don't have to, if you have the passion and you have the will to dedicate yourself to that outstanding cause, then you yourself are an outstanding cause. You know, that's what separates them from the others. You know, I mean, the ones that are just, you know, using it as a tax shelter or whatever, you know, those aren't that. I'll take a mom and pop outstanding cause that really wants to solve a problem over another one that's just name and paperwork only. You see what I mean? So we're trying to find those really dedicated ones, no matter what shape or size they are, and help them. So our mission is help those who are helping others. And Jazz for Peace, at a small level where we're at, a lot of people think Jazz for Peace is big because they look at our achievements. I, being the founder, think it's small, and I'll tell you why. I look at our 850 events as something that can help the problems of the world. But on a grand scale, Jazz for Peace, well, why don't I say it's an easy way to help the problems of the world, okay? Because you can do it the hard way, right? You can go in with militaries and bombs and spending money and debts and all these things. And that's what throughout history we've been doing. But actually, the easy way is for people to come together around this common denominator of outstanding cause, which we all believe in, and the arts and culture and music that represent, you know, spirituality, individuality, intelligence, creativity, all of those things are represented in high quality music. So you have all these common grounds that people are on, and now you're doing it not from your differences, but from your similarities. Now you're addressing the problem. So at a grand scale, I really do believe that Jazz for Peace could actually heal many of the world's problems if it was done. You have to realize we give 100% funding to war. So war's getting every shot, every chance they're getting. They're getting 100%, like trillions of dollars are going towards war. But we're giving zero to peace, not at all. So we're not really, you know, we could do 99 war and one peace, and I bet you see an incredible difference. So my point is, we're not doing it on the grand scale, even though people are very impressed when they look at all the events we've done and read our testimonials, et cetera, et cetera.
So where are you getting the funding to be able to do this stuff?
Well, basically what we do is we appeal to those who really want to see their donation do something. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So in other words, like you all know, as we all know, everyone's read these articles where you see that if you give a dollar to such and such thing to help the save the hunger, right, or whatever, save the hunger.
Right.
But when you really cut through, I'm so glad you asked this question, by the way, because not everybody does. When you cut through all of the red tape, right, you find out, well, the CEO is getting 800, you know, or whatever, 430. After you get his salary, then you got this person, that person, you got board members that are paid for this and that, blah, blah, blah. After all of that's done, two pennies of that went to what? Like, I guess you could buy a little piece of candy. You know what I mean? But that's, you know, that's what you're getting for that dollar. Now, you know, that doesn't mean if you want to do that. But there are people that are a little bit too smart for that. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. Forget this minimum stuff. We want maximum results for our dollar. And what Jazz for Peace does that's amazing is, instead of 50 cents, 50 off, you know, if 50 cents of your dollar went to the actual people they were serving, it would be phenomenal. I mean, like, people's jaws would drop, because it's so hard to do that with a nonprofit. When you look at the expense, first of all, nonprofits, just the accounting, you have to have accountants and stuff. Yeah. When you give a dollar to Jazz for Peace, it's not even 50 cents. It's not 75 cents. I hate to sound like one of those guys selling those, you ever see the guy on the commercial with the Vito mixer or whatever? No, it's not this. It's not that. But actually, in all honesty, more than a dollar of your dollar goes. And how could that be? I'll tell you why. Because Jazz for Peace events raise more funds than the cost to put it on. You see what I mean? You see what I mean? So, and here's the other thing. When you donate to Jazz for Peace, your money doesn't all go to one organization that you never heard. So this is an important word I'm going to tell you right now, and that you rarely see anywhere anymore. And the word is autonomy. Okay? Because what you see a lot of times is you'll see an organization that's controlled by a big donor. So the organization is really doing what the big donor wants them done. Okay? Because if they don't do what that big donor wants, he's going to pull out. You see what I mean? And they're not going to, you know, so a lot of organizations, they start out with this grand dream, and then they try to figure out how they're going to stay alive. And then they realize the best way for us to stay alive is to get this guy, Big Fish, to donate, you know. But now he starts directing what you do. Well, I'll give you that, but I want this, I want this, I want that. Jazz for Peace, we can help anybody, because we have something that secures our autonomy, and that is a portion of the funds. So what we do is, when we work with it, let's say we're going to do something for the fire department in, what city are you in over there?
I'm in Tomball, actually, which is just northwest of Houston.
All right. Well, we've been to Houston many times, right? So let's just, we've been to Houston many times, by the way. And I've had some great stories there. I was going to tell you off camera, I mean, that barbecue is nuts over there.
You got to eat barbecue in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, especially Houston. I missed the Dallas one, but I mean, we have there's something called Dallas Barbecue here in Times Square. So barbecue must be great there, because there is a place called Dallas Barbecue.
It's all right. It doesn't hold a candle to Houston, but it's okay.
Well, okay, now I know, because I'm telling you, I was more impressed with Houston barbecue wise. That just, that's like, you know, for whatever reason, I have so much world, you know, like, knowledge from being everywhere, and just the barbecue stands out in Houston. I just got to be honest.
Absolutely.
It's killer Always. Barbecue. Nuts. I mean, I don't even know how much I'd weigh if I lived in Houston. But anyways, let's just say we're doing something for the Houston Fire Department, or Tumble or Bumble, wherever that city is that you're at. You know, you guys are like, okay, so what we do first is, the first thing we do is, somebody from your fire department would watch this podcast, right? Hopefully I played something, you know, something in the song he liked, or the improvisation or whatever. He's like, wow, this guy, this is interesting music. Wow, this is an interesting story. Hey, I think I'm going to write to Jazz for Peace, info@jazzforpeace.org, our website, and just tell him. I think I'll just tell him, hey, man, you know, that's really good work you're doing out there. They can say whatever they want, okay? But that, whatever they said, their honest opinion. And really, it's a lot about honesty, too. We're asking you to just give us your honest opinion, based on what you know, what little it is, or lot, whatever that is. And we, you know, we make sure that we you have stuff. So if you want to find out about us, you can. But we have a page called Know the Funder where you can, you know, learn all kinds of stuff. But he watches your show. He sends us an email. That email is a seedling. So that seed's like, you know, a tree in Texas, how many seedlings? Maybe 1,000, right? And maybe you get a tree or two, right? Maybe a couple of trees. That's the way this is. Comments are seedlings because we grow the tree from a comment. Now, there's going to be lots of comments that just come and go. As you know, there's just like there's lots of seedlings, you know, tons of seedlings. But for an outstanding cause, we want to grow that into an empowerment tree. So that's his comment. What we will do then is we will shape a document. And we have our little templates for everything we do, templates that things that have worked that we just, you know, care. This document has been known to help him tell the other guys in the fire department. You see what I mean? So he's got a little piece that we shape it. We give a rough draft. We send it to him. Hey, fix this the way you want it. Sometimes it's almost good, or they got just a couple things. But sometimes they'll change this or change that. Yeah, could we do it on this month? Could we do it on this day? Could we change this to the And they fix it. Now they got it the way they want it. He shows it to you and the other guys at the fire department. Hey, this guy's been doing this all over the world. You know, you can click here, you can click here, or just what you read, you can tell me what you think of the idea. Hopefully they say, hey, you know what? We could use a little world-class culture in our town, benefiting our fire department, raising awareness for our private, educating people about the fire department, bringing in some sponsors for the fire department, new and prestigious supporters. We could use all of that. Good to go. So one person will say, got mine, another, perfect, or I love it. That could be their comment. Anyway, those people, those are roots. So you're growing this, just growing it into roots, that's all. Now, we'll take a handful of those comments. Some of those people are very enthusiastic, maybe because their son's a jazz musician or they studied or they always wanted to be a musician. Who knows what the reason? They could be very philanthropic people. They could be like, oh, my God, I love it. We've got to do this. We've got to do more to help, you know, they, for whatever the reason is there. You know, well, now we're going to say, well, listen, all these guys here, they're going to be VIP guests of honor at this event. OK, we're all going to be VIPs. But would you like to invite some people that can, you would like to educate about the fire department and know more about what they do and be more proactive with the fire department, you know what I mean? Not just out of sight, out of mind, but work with the fire department during the year, whatever, you know, be a part of their little things that they do, their activities. And they say, yeah, so they will invite their friends. They'll take the letter and they'll invite people and they'll come, here's my VIP list. So you've got your VIP list, right, with all the fire guys on it. Now, this guy, hey, you know, I love this thing. I got friends. They love me. My son, my neighbor, they play in a stage band. You know, yes, they could be VIPs. Oh, my God, really great. When I tell you what a VIP gets, you'll see why that's a beautiful thing. So now they give you. So we take all these VIP lists. They give it to Jazz for Peace. Okay, they submit it to us. We've got a lot of VIP lists. Let's say we've got 5 lists, just 5 with 20 names each, right? You've got your list of your guys on staff and you've got 4 other guys who did the same, 5 lists, right? So that's 100 VIPs right there, 100 VIPs. But guess what? Nobody ever goes to a world-class cultural event by themselves, right? So it's really 200 because this guy's going to bring his wife. This person's going to bring his spouse. This person's going to bring his friend who loves music, you know, this one's, you know what I mean? This one's going to get grandma out of the house for crying out loud. She's been in the house all week. You know what I mean? Get her out. Let's get grandma down to this event. You know, whatever it is. So yeah, you've got 200 VIPs. So now these VIPs will help us confirm the event with funds already raised for your fire department and in your fire department's bank account. And that's only the beginning of the process. But this is just to start things out. So what we do sometimes, we help people, just that one step helps them raise a lot, okay? So, I mean, there was one organization that we did that for. This is on the high side, just so you know, but they went so crazy. On that step, they had $25,000 from that.
Wow.
Yeah, $25,000. So they sent a small portion back to us to offset our expenses. Now, if I just made $25,000 for you, you're not going to mind sending a little bit back to me, right?
Right.
If I made it for you, you know what I mean? You, it's our event. You used our, you know, so they're like, delight. That's all. That's all we got to give you. Yes. That's all you got. Cause all we have to do is satisfy our donors. We don't need to, you know, we don't need to split if it, you know, we don't need to take all of this. We need a small portion to satisfy our donors who we don't want to tell us, I'm giving you this money only to help the Red Cross in my town. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because when you see the people we've helped, most of them are organizations you've never heard of. Because even me, let's take, you know, me, because I was real dumb. I was tied for the dumbest, okay? I think I was tied with everybody for the dumb, last place, because we don't know much about charities. I was like, yeah, I've heard of charity. Yeah, you got the Red Cross and the Habitat for Humanity. Yeah, I know those big names. Those are charities. There are thousands of charities with little names representing all kinds of things, you know? There's a charity that helps birds. I mean, anything you name it, and we played for it. I know, because we played for them. And I was shocked at how many of these charities there were. So some guy's going to gives money to Jazz for Peace. Okay, I like this because I get a lot for my buck. But you gave it all to, like, Pampered Parrots out in freaking Seattle, you know? Actually, they weren't in Seattle, but they were in Spokane. That's an actual grant recipient, Pampered Parrots.
Wow.
Parrots, yeah. You know, he don't want his donation going. He doesn't know. He's not into parrots. You see what I mean?
Right.
So that's going to cause us a problem with our autonomy. No, we'll give it to, you know, instead. Your donations are spread out over a large amount of organizations because of we're able to get some of those funds back to offset our expenses from the money we raised for you with the very first step. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's our secret. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, no, we want you to know the secret. We want you to know because we want you to know this could do amazing things. I'm just telling you, if it was ever given half of its potential, let alone all of its potential. I mean, people look at We Do and they're astounded. I don't know. I'll show you a podcast. The last podcast I was on, the woman, you know, she was she had studied Jazz for Peace extensively. And she was like, I just can't believe it. But, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is it's nothing compared to the potential is my point. You know,
yeah.
It could be, I mean, on a grand scale, it could be an easy way to, instead of an easy way to address problems, it could become an easy way to solve problems.
Sure. So I know obviously giving you money will help you in all of this, and you can include that in there, but tell me how we can support you and what we can do to help spread your message and help you grow.
I'll tell you how to support us more than money. Okay. You could help us more than money simply by, because we're a philanthropic organization. So I don't care what these people say, if they're making all this money in nonprofits, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? Your goal is achievement. You're putting achievement first. That's why you're in philanthropy. You're putting achievement first. So you could help us 10 times more. The worst way you could help us is with money. Okay. That's the worst way, which I would say that is better than nothing at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's way better. Look, the best nation is a donation.
That's good.
I got that as a piano bar, but I actually used it in stand-up comedy and I got a lot of laughs. So that's why I was throwing that on you. But
heck
anyway,
yeah.
Got it. So yeah, good. I'm glad you like it. So, and the jokes get better as we go along. All right. So, but anyway, I'm not saying it's the least thing because we don't want it. You know, we hate money. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the best thing you can do is freaking uncover an outstanding cause for us to help. Uncover an outstanding cause in your town that would be better off if they were better funded, if they had more sponsors, if they had more friendships and partnerships. Our VIP thing, like I told you, brings a lot of people together. Their donor base was more expanded, if they were more publicized, more publicity and awareness, and if they had more new and prestigious supporters. All branches of our empowerment tree. Identify them. Give this to them, you know, or other stuff about Jazz. Give something to them. Ask them to watch it. And get that so that they can make a comment and let them send their comment to us so we can help them. That's the best way you can support us better than money, because we are about achievement. We're about helping all these outstanding causes so we can go to the next step, which would be on a grander scale where we can maybe decide, hey, you know what? This military shit is too expensive. And it's blowing up in these freaking bombs, or there's too many, you know, people are dying and you're dropping the bombs on civilians. You know what I mean? Let's see if this thing, let's try this first. Let's see if we can mitigate a conflict with, you know what I mean? With intelligence and creativity and, you know what I mean? Humanity. Let's see. Let's try it. You know, we're not trying it now. So we got to start trying. But if all these outstanding causes, they're going to put pressure on someone and say, you know what? This guy's helped us and he's helped thousands of others. So that's the best thing. Now, if you can do absolutely nothing, if you don't know of an outstanding cause or you're not affiliated with one and all that stuff, yeah, you can buy us a cup. You can send us a $6 donation for, you know, the price of a cup of coffee in Houston. You could definitely help us with that. And that would be great. You know, that I would say everybody do something, but the best thing to do is, you know, help us find somebody to help. That really is, you know, like I said, we don't want to help the ones that are just doing it for, you know, we want to expose the world's greatest. We want to separate the wheat from the chaff and expose the world's greatest causes, even if they're tiny or new or old or, you know, big or small, whatever the size.
Gotcha. Are y'all on social media?
Yes, we are. So now our website is jazzforpeace.org. Okay. And I told you our email address is info@jazzforpeace.org, where someone can just send an email. But Facebook, I believe it's facebook.com/jazzforpeacegrant is the official one. But the thing about social media is there's lots of sites. So this volunteers would put up different sites. And so you might find a bunch of them on Facebook. But we're on LinkedIn. You can look under my name on LinkedIn. And you can also look under Jazz for Peace. There's a Jazz for Peace, like I said, on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, we're on all those. If you go on YouTube, you can type in Jazz for Peace, Rick Delora. If you type in both my name and the words Jazz for Peace, I'm sure you'll find a lot of things on YouTube.
Perfect. Yeah, so we can go listen to more music from you then.
Yeah, that'd be great. You could type in Jazz for Peace Africa and see stuff. You know, you could type in Jazz for Peace India and see stuff.
Wow. Yeah, and we'll link all that stuff below in the show notes as well. That way we can make sure that all of your information is pushed out there. I mean, that's the whole goal behind this show, is publicity for, you know, people like you, publicity for for-profit companies that are out there trying to make a living. Like, we just want to kind of spread that same message. You know, it truly is a no strings attached thing just to get people on here and spread the message. So hopefully our listeners will engage with that and have somebody in mind that they would like to send your way for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the main message about Jazz for Peace, it's an easy way to address our world's problems. And of course, the easiest way of all is just make a small donation to Jazz for Peace. That's the easiest way. But if you want to do a slightly little bit of heavier lifting, which I hope you would consider, identifying an outstanding cause in your city that we wouldn't know about if it wasn't for you.
Heck yeah.
And they wouldn't know about either, because they also, you know, they need you too, because they need you to say, hey, you know, this Jazz for Peace thing, they've been to Houston 6 times to Houston. Well, you know, they've been everywhere else. Why don't you check them out? Maybe they can help you.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, I think we covered a whole lot on this show. We got to hear some awesome music, and what you're doing is amazing. I am truly happy that we have somebody out there that's hitting it hard and trying to help out other people who are helping others as well, because it just, to me, it's like compounding interest. You know, you help those that are helping others and things get better and better. So thank you for being on the show and sharing Jazz for Peace with us today.
It's my pleasure, John. Really was.
Absolutely. Listeners, thank you for tuning in for another episode of Small Business Origins. Please consider going into the show notes, checking out everything Rick and Jazz for Peace has going on, and supporting them in any way that you think is necessary. Also, don't forget that you can head over to smallbusinessorigin.com and you can actually, you know, participate in some of the stuff. You can leave some voicemail messages there. You can comment on things, and anything and everything that you do to drum up more interest in today's episode is going to help Jazz for Peace in the future as well. So make sure that you're sharing all of their content, sharing this episode and everything else that you've heard here on Small Business Origins. As always, thank you for tuning in for another episode this week. We'll see you on the next one, and stay beefy, my friends.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Small Business Origins.
I love an origin story.
If you like what you just heard, leave us a review, subscribe, and share with a friend.
You guys, check this out.
They're going to love it. You're going to love it.